This time check is brought to you by Stanbic Bank.
It's 18 hours. Up next is the main news.
This time check was brought to you by Stanbic Bank.
Phoenix FM.
Check, check.
There we go.
106.7. Bonze.
The main news bulletin on Phoenix FM is brought to you by Absa Bank Zambia PLC. Your story matters. Absa.
The Absa Cup 2025 final is finally here. Zesco United will battle Red Arrows in the Absa Cup final at Levy Wanawasa Stadium on Saturday, 10th May 2025 at 15 hours. Grab your tickets now at ShopRite CompuTicket, VIP 300 Kwacha, West Wing 150 Kwacha, and East Wing 70 Kwacha, 20 Kwacha for North and South Wing. Don't miss out on this thrilling experience with a special appearance by His Excellency, Mr. Hagainde Hichilema.
Your story matters. Absa.
The headlines. Mines Minister to sign local content law within 3 months. ECOSOC calls on African nations to demand reparations for historical injustices. And in global news, Trump proposes 80% China tariff ahead of trade talks. Good evening, and with the 18 hours main news bulletin on Phoenix FM, I'm Kafula Mulenga. Mines and Mineral Development Minister Paul Kabuswe has announced plans to sign a statutory instrument on local content within the next 3 months, aimed at expanding opportunities for Zambian-owned businesses in the mining sector. Mr. Kabuswe has expressed concern that only 10% of businesses in the mining industry currently goes to local suppliers and contractors, calling the situation unacceptable. Speaking during the 2025 Mining Local Content Conference and Expo organized by the Zambia Association of Manufacturers in Indola today, Mr. Kabuswe has urged local players to build their capacity in anticipation of increased opportunities under the upcoming legal framework.
I think for us, we are determined that by the end of this quarter, that SI must come out. What will stop all these conferences, Mr. Saka, you are having, is a legal framework that compels us. The worry from the industry is that, for example, if you compel us to buy certain goods which cannot be found in Zambia, but there's a proviso in that law which should allow those that are worried that certain things that you cannot procure locally, there will still be a proviso within that law that you can actually seek permission and do it, so that we don't stop productivity.
At the same event, International Labour Organization ILO representative Musoli Kashinga stressed the importance of backing the local content initiative with legislation to ensure its success.
The ILO recognizes the need for local content within the framework of national legislation. It further notes that over 17 countries in Africa with such legislation have local content legislation. Guest of honor, I'm happy to note that in 2017, the ILO conducted a study on sustainable mining, how good practices in the mining sector contribute to more and better jobs. I must say that this study still remains with relevant lessons for our country.
Meanwhile, First Quantum Minerals FQM Corporate Affairs Manager Kiansenga Chitoshi has called for broader stakeholder consultations before the government finalizes the local content law.
What I know is that there has been some consultation, but we definitely need more, and we definitely need to bring in players like associations such as ZAM, because even their voices, it's the diversity of voices that lead to the strongest documents to be produced. The diversity of voices, not one assumption or one perception, but if we can have a diversity of voices able to input, then we're sure to achieve, because remember, we're trying to achieve something. So in order to achieve its aims, it's important to have that diversity of key stakeholders inputting.
Head of Economic, Social and Cultural Council, ECOSOC Secretariat William Karu, has emphasized the need for African countries to begin formally demanding reparations for the injustices suffered during the transatlantic slave trade and the colonial era. Speaking at the conclusion of the inaugural two-day ECOSOC Africa-China People-to-People Dialogue in Chongwe today, Mr. Karu says the call for reparations is both timely and justified, considering the deep historical wrongs inflicted upon African communities. He noted that with the African Union designating 2025 as the year of fighting injustice, it is critical to mobilize the voice of African citizens to push for reparative justice, particularly for communities most affected by slavery and colonialism. Mr. Karu has reaffirmed ECOSOC's commitment to ensuring that African nations pursue compensation and recognition for the long-standing impacts of colonial exploitation and the slave trade.
The African Union has declared 2025 as a year for reparatory justice. So when we talk about reparation, we are talking about looking at the injustices and wrongs that were perpetrated to Africans during the transatlantic slave trade and also during the colonial era. And therefore, the African Union dedicates 2025 to be able to galvanize a good political will, at the same time mobilize the voices of African citizens and for us to be able to demand for reparation.
Police in Lusaka have apprehended a 17-year-old juvenile in connection with the murder of a pupil from Kamulanga Secondary School. Police spokesperson Ray Hamonga says the apprehension follows a report that was made by four juveniles on the 6th of March 2025, who discovered the lifeless body of a schoolgirl wearing a Kamulanga Secondary School uniform. Mr. Hamonga explains that the body is believed to have been found lying on the ground, partially obscured by a small bush and a heap of blocks in the area near Luxon Mapushi Police Post within Kamwala South Secondary School premises. He says police officers promptly visited and secured the scene of crime, and an investigation was immediately launched, leading to the arrest of a male juvenile aged 17 as the prime suspect.
Police officers promptly visited and secured the scene of crime, and an investigation was immediately launched. We wish to inform the general public that after a thorough investigation, a male juvenile aged 17 has been identified as the prime suspect in this case.
FQM Trident has invested 7.1 million kwacha to open up an area for an employee housing expansion project known as Pineapple One, aimed at providing over 800 residential plots to its employees free of charge in two phases. Under phase one of the project, 320 residential plots have already been allocated, along with material loans of up to 150,000 kwacha, while phase two will see an additional 508 plots distributed to address long-standing housing and accommodation challenges faced by miners. Speaking at Kalumbila today during the groundbreaking ceremony of the initiative, FQM Trident General Manager Scott Whitehead has emphasized that the project goes beyond the provision of land and is empowering employees to become property owners.
What distinguishes this initiative is its strategic focus on employee empowerment. By entrusting our workforce with the opportunity to design and construct their own homes, we're reinforcing a culture of ownership, accountability, and long-term commitment to our community. Looking ahead, as we've touched on, we're looking to expand this initiative. We are currently working through the next phases of this project with Pineapple 2 and Pineapple 3, which will offer an additional 496 plots.
Officiating at the ceremony, Kalumbila District Commissioner Brenda Sankisa notes that the district is one of the fastest growing in Zambia, hence housing projects like this one align with the district's infrastructure development goals and underscores the importance of investing in the well-being of Zambian workers.
In addition to housing, this initiative will help foster community development by creating jobs and opportunities
from local suppliers, construction workers and vendors. As we know, job creation